interrupting the current neo-Uranial, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude-Busting Episode BTWRLM 619. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed, because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch and get you behind the woodshed for that dose of reality. Because you can't go wrong when you get behind the woodshed. And one last week of asking for donations. I know it's a week or so after the month of February, but we started late. And actually, we're not getting too many donations this year. I don't know why. That's what's going on. So just to be straight up, we have to have the donations so things get moving and continue to move. I appreciate those that have sent the donations in and the requests and the content. More content's coming, folks. And so we're trying to claw our way back from almost the demise of Real Liberty Media with Grimner passing and then not understanding how we were going to move along. And then finally Sound Mind has been putting a lot of time and energy to get it back on. So I hope you would help him to help others get their word out as you're hearing a little bit more type of content. We know we have the tag themes now. Those are kind of a collaborative effort to put together for every episode behind Woodshed. So those all come after the fact. We don't do that ahead. So whatever the content renders is what we bring out. So we're trying to put some stuff together to entice people to show up and listen and hopefully empower them and give them the tools that they need, not to just be keyboard warriors, but to actually start defending ourselves. A lot of people probably, I don't know how many, but I don't hear a lot of people talking about challenging what we're seeing in the Savior and the Messiah come lately. So that's a problem. And some are, not everyone's taking it, but the problem I'm seeing is that sets up this mental, it's an abuse system, essentially, that you still don't get yourself worked out of. On the other hand, we get so upset and so frustrated, we don't do a thing either. And boy, that's a real problem. In the middle, even so, everyone needs to know how to defend themselves, and so I try to bring the information to you, as you can see, as I keep showing you, week after week, what's happening out there, out away from us, it's actually applicable inside. It just looks different. They come at you a little bit differently. But all the same cast of characters is coming down to take us out. And that's not a sensationalism. In other words, being free of health problems is really important. So when you find out you're not a spectator here, you'll find out why they attack us at every turn on these health issues. Because eating from plastic takeout containers can increase health risk, says a study. And apparently the jab too, as we've been hearing as well, but this study is on the plastic take you out containers. Study, adding to rising evidence of plastic linked health risks, points to gut biome changes as a cause of heart failure. I won't add more than just to remind you how many times I've brought up, not that this is a health show, but if we don't have our health, we really don't have much. So you hear me talking about it periodically and bringing this stuff up. Why we're talking about it right now. How many times I've talked about your gut biome, how it has to be proper for it to do its job. Your gut is the starting of the whole entire, actually chewing, the digestive system has to be in good shape. And this stuff attacks that gut biome. All the beasties in the stomach that work out, create the enzymes that work out, keep working out, get absorbed by the system into which this thing that we call our body works. Now we see this stuff that they've been putting in through this plastic can leach out and cause heart failure by this study, just on the first heading. And I really shouldn't even have talked more about it. Those of you that are interested will go run to that and go read it. But for those that want to just hear me make my comments around this, I guess you listen in. Again, donations, folks. We have to pay the bills, and a couple of people have brought us very, very close. We have hardware that needs to be bought, and it would be nice to pay people behind the scenes for the work we have to buy hired out and to get better stuff. And we're kind of behind on that too, but as far as getting the work out, we've got the schedule coming. There's going to be some more features coming out. They just take a while to get done. So look at the bottom of the webpage. We're reallibertymedia.com. Look for the icons for the donations, either buy the crew a coffee or maybe a bigger donation. And you can do it once, or you can do it all month long, every month, or you can do it one big chunk, or whatever you want to do there, and just choose which supplier you have. But here we have the broadcast. I'm bringing you some new health risks, and they piggyback real well and timely on top of that jab, too, obviously. I wonder why. But I'm not going to dismiss this problem. We've all talked about this, understood it. There's these serious problems around plastic. And recently I've been talking about the microplastic, which is apparently leaching in nano sizes out of these containers, which is, I don't even think it's even talked about in this study. But this one says eating from plastic take-you-out containers may significantly increase the chance of congestive heart failure, a new study finds. The researchers suspect they have identified why. Changes in the gut biome cause inflammation that damages the circulatory system. So those of you that listen to me anytime, you know I'm really keen on trying to find the body systems. We don't look after the symptom. We go try to find the causes, the underlying causes, and we fortify those. So we're looking at one of these parts right here, one of these things we can look at, find out body systems to start tracking in to fortify and protect once we get there. The novel two-part peer-reviewed study from Chinese researchers adds to mounting evidence of the risks associated with eating from plastic and builds on previous evidence linking plastic chemicals to heart disease. The authors used a two-part approach, first looking into the frequency with which over 3,000 people in China ate from plastic take-you-out containers and whether they had heart disease. Then they exposed rats to plastic chemicals in water that was boiled and poured in carry-out containers to extract chemicals. The data revealed that high-frequency exposure to plastics is significantly associated with increased risk of congenitive heart failure, the authors wrote. Plastic can contain any of about 20,000 chemicals, and many of them, such as BPA, phthalates, FPASs, those are the forever chemicals, present health risks. The chemicals are often bound in food and food packaging and are linked to a range of problems from cancer to reproductive harm. Boy, those are correlating very closely to the jab, too, aren't they? While researchers in the new paper didn't check what the specific chemicals were, which ones were leaching from the plastic, they noted that the link between common plastic compounds and heart disease and previous link between gut biome and heart disease. They put boiling water in the containers for 5 or 15 minutes because plastic chemicals leach at much higher rates when hot contents are placed in containers. The study cited previous research that found that as many as 4.2 million microplastic particles per square centimeter can leach from plastic containers that are microwaved. The authors then gave rats, so here folks, they were talking about microwaves being bad. Well, maybe it was the plastic that these products were put into. Who knows? I mean, this is the thing about we get our news and we don't look closely at what's going on. And there's a whole, you know, we get our opinions about it and we don't really look very much closer than what we're told. So we hear these so many decades later, there was also a potential contributor to what we thought microwaving food would have been. I'm not saying I'm all sold on microwave food. What I'm saying is that we're not really told what the truth is a lot of times. And I'll just suggest, because you can heat something doesn't mean you're radiating it, like we understand radiation, like gamma ray. That's not even the same close thing. It's different, even a different frequency range. So at any rate, so here we have it. Containers, and the problem with microwaving is it can be very concentrated in spots. So there's another potential problem. You're actually vaporizing the plastic. If anybody's ever done playing around with a microwave to see what it can do. Interesting scientific tool as well, on top of it all. The authors then gave the rats water contaminated with leachate to drink for several months, then analyzed the gut biome and metabolites in the feces. It found notable changes. Quote, it indicated that the ingestion of these leachates altered the intestinal microenvironment, affecting gut microbiota composition and modified gut microbiota metabolites, particularly those linked with inflammation and oxidative stress, the authors wrote. Then they checked the rat's heart muscle tissue and found it had been damaged. The study did not find a statistical difference in the changes in the damage among rats that were exposed to water that had been in contact with plastic for 1 minute versus 5 or 15. The study does not make recommendations on how consumers can can protect themselves, but public health advocates say to avoid microwaving or adding hot food to plastic containers at home or cooking anything in plastic. Replacing plastic utensils or packaging at home with a glass, wood, or stainless steel alternatives is also helpful. It is the most difficult to avoid plastic when getting carryout. One can bring their own glass packaging or transfer food to glass packaging when one gets home. And so, just more things for us to pay attention to. I'm not a purist about it, but I don't like plastic around my food as much as possible. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist around me, but it's something I rarely use. If I can get avoided, I avoid it. If I can't, well, that's what you just do that. A lot of times you can avoid it. That's the other interesting and simple thing. Like I was saying before, maybe our milk needs to be coming back in glass bottles. Maybe it was a little bit extra work, but we weren't having congestive heart failure at the time or before, apparently. Especially when the milk was probably a little bit more raw and less processed. But that's for all y'all to be looking and deciding. And this study came through, very interesting. It was a study of information by the Midwestern doctor I've referred to a couple times. I don't really read his site until something pops up. But I found his information to be very useful and very well read and linked, and so you can go track it back through, those of you that will, that have an interest in this. DMSO could save millions from brain and spinal injury. And inside here, I found interesting, is related to the heart as well. So the decades of, he writes, and I'm not going to read this whole article, those of you that, again, that I'll just give you a lead to it, tip of the iceberg type stuff, maybe break down enough to the casual listener, understand what's going on, keep it in your mind if you're not going to go any further. Those of you that are deeper divers here, then go ahead and grab the link or link, you know, type it out, find out what I'm reading, go get your study material and get a better understanding of what's going on. But as I said a long time ago with this jab coming in, we're going to need to know even more now about how the body systems work in order to see how are we going to parse out what the jab did or didn't do. It looks like it's pretty comprehensive. And all that technology does the same thing, it seems, too. So to not be wrapped up in just the jab doing all this, but actually you may have a cause different. Let's say you didn't get a vaccine. Let's say you could actually say that you didn't get the spin-off materials that were shedding. You're just not someone who'd been around too much, but you still start getting these other problems. You want to cut through all that nonsense for you in the jab. You need to focus on what may be causing it in your life, in your environment. But this DMSO has been very interesting to me. Never got to get into it too much, so I'll just read this through, get the link, a lot of information here, and it's just more building on this essentially organic substance that's concentrated from different sources. Particularly, I think it's taken from wood pulp, actually. That's where back in the 1800s, I think it was. Let me read here, and maybe it's in here. The decades of evidence showing DMSO revolutionizes the care of many untreatable circulatory and neurological conditions. So I'm going to harken back here to that we're eating that plastic. Maybe this is not a suggestion. Just look into it. The DMSO may help with the circulatory problems that are being caused possibly by these plastics and other things. Remember, don't get too focused. But dimethyl sulfoxide is a simple chemical and its breakdown products to exist in nature. For instance, they can be found in small amounts in milk, tomatoes, tea, coffee, beer, clams, beer clams, maybe beer and clams, and a cooked corn. While the salty smell of the ocean is in part due to microalgae near the surface creating dimethyl sulfoxide, some of which also makes it into the rain. So I'll give you this writing, the story at a glance. You can read that for my purposes here to familiarize or refamiliarize ourselves with this organic substance. DMSO is a remarkably safe chemical that protects cells from otherwise fatal stressors, for instance, freezing, burning, shock waves, or ischemia. Since the heart, brain, and spinal cord are particularly vulnerable to injury, DMSO can produce miraculous results for those conditions. Let me add, the Western doctor's adding this as a summary. He's making claims here of the miraculousness. Re-study to study that to verify that his claims, his use of the words, is accurate. And this will let you leave that for you to do. But what I'm saying here, to produce some miraculous results, when you see what he's offered, you might have to just go with that. It's pretty impressive. I don't want to sell that. I want you to be aware of it. The usage of DMSO completely transforms the management of strokes, including brain bleeds, heart attacks, and spinal cord injuries. As I will show here, had the FDA not sabotaged DMSO's adoption, in addition to countless lives being saved, millions could have been protected from a lifetime of disability or paralysis. We hear right there what this touches. Maybe we can counter that plastic chemical heart problem, right? We're talking right in that area, the heart attacks. Yeah. So here it is, right there on the top. When I saw this, I said, these two stories come right together. Again, something to understand, to use while we're trying to figure out about this plastic. It's probably not going away. It's forever chemicals. They're telling you this. They're not going away. And so that's going to be in our lives. I don't care where it is. And now we find microplastics. They seem to be in us already through all kinds of sources. DMSO has many other remarkable properties. For example, it stabilizes proteins and thus treats many challenging protein disorders. For instance, amyloidosis, amyloidosis, and numerous genetic disorders. You hear jab in here anywhere, folks? Just a little bit. Many conditions DMSO treats are typically considered to be incurable. In this article, I will focus on DMSO's remarkable utility for the conditions that respond best to intravenous DMSO. For instance, a variety of circulatory disorders like varicose veins or Raynaud's, and complex neurological disorders such as Down syndrome, developmental delay, ALS, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's, along with how to administer IV DMSO and DMSO stroke protocols. So this is going to be sort of heavy-duty stuff here, but DMSO can be topically applied, and it's a very, I think he'll explain it in this article if I don't get to it. It goes right through the skin and is a carrier for other substances. So it can be used topically to give you dosages of things that you don't need an IV for. So let's keep those on tap about understanding the distinctions on those. But he goes on to say, it treats a wide range of severe illnesses which are often otherwise incurable and frequently fatal or lead to a lifetime of permanent disability. It effectively treats acute injuries and rehabilitates chronic musculoskeletal disorders like arthritis. Because of this, it is one of the best pain medicines out there and has been allowed many to get their lives back. And I understand there's also these other side products that are byproducts or something of this, so that you can go look at that for those. They've been out there. We've talked about it. I don't want to promote them. I want you to find them and find out whether you need it. Then you go look for the property. This was a nice, concise place to get this information for those of us that may need some of this, whether or not it's for pain or for the other things he's alluding to at this point. It has a variety of unique properties that open up a completely different dimension on how medicine can be practiced. It is one of the safest medically active substances in existence. Remarkably, in the 1960s, this was recognized as DMSO took the nation by storm. For instance, people everywhere were clamoring for it. Gas stations would often advertise they sold it, and tens of thousands of research studies were conducted by enthusiastic scientists around the globe. Now, however, outside of it being a laboratory chemical or an alternative therapy some people use for joint pain, few are even aware of DMSO's existence. This was due to the FDA waging a multi-decade long war against DMSO despite widespread outcry from Congress and the public, which I believe was arguably the worst thing the FDA has ever done to this country. Remember, no, safe and effective, folks. This is the FDA, the CDC, safe and effective. Unless it's safe and effective for HARMA, right? Then it doesn't have to worry about it, right? Secretary of HARMA, RFK Jr. This is a very extensive article, anyway. Lots of links for more in an in-depth survey that you can get at the Blogcaster or wherever you find the syndicated links that Sound puts out on the video side, PeerTube, and wherever else he's got. Mumble, maybe, if we still got left. I don't know how many times it'll be taken out. We keep putting them back up. They keep being taken down. But let the Midwestern doctor guide you through this as he reads through and explains it. And look at the available studies to help verify his claims, like I've said. Those are very important. Don't take anything on Facebook. Verify all this stuff. And I've been interested in its ability to act as a carrier through the skin for a substance a long time. Just never really got it. But very, very interesting stuff. And it's kind of interesting to me, too, find out that it was, I believe it's, as I said, I didn't read this part. I think it's in the article for sure to describe it. It's made from a process, a certain process around wood pulp. and it's an extraction process. All kinds of stuff come out. I think they said pine was a good wood for extracting this as well. And pine also has turpentine, which I understand is another one of those things that you can use if you're so inclined. And lots of things come out of pine trees, so that are really kind of neat. So here's a thing. It certainly seemed to speak to lots of ill health, and then kind of comes and follows that issue with the plastics. If we have this in our lives, then maybe we need something more powerful. And I thought DMSO and that all that compilation was very interesting for us to go get and be reminded if we didn't know, or be enlightened if we did, be re-informed if we did. And then he says he's going to make some more what do you call the episodes, if you will, the additions onto this story to add more and more to it. So I'm not sure how much he's planned. I don't know more about it. So very interesting. And relevant to cyber mental health, Google's unannounced update scans all your photos. One click stops it. So this is they get us on the mental side too. They're going to be after us all, everywhere. We can't hide. We have no place to live. It's quiet. No safe place for it. Google's awkward moment states to its safety core an Android systems update that enables on-device image scanning that could do all kinds of things, but is currently focused on blurring and flagging sensitive content. It's seemingly even more private than Apple's enhanced visual search, which, given that it's all on-device, so we're told. But when the technology is installed and enabled on our phones without warning, the after-the-fact assurances that it's all fine for them. Your kitchen's burning down, but it's all fine, tend to be met with more skepticism than would be the cause if it had been done more openly. And that's the same issue that Apple has on this very same technology. The X post that kicked off this safety core furor warned, quote, Google had secretly installed this app on various Android devices without users' permission. It can reportedly scan through your photo gallery and occupies 2 gigabytes of space. This is the other thing I noticed about these. They're always using your stuff. They don't claim it to be yours no more, right? They own it. They use your space. They use your money that you spent for that space for them, without paying you either, if you were going to let it on, if you liked that, and the lack of the use of that space. It's the same thing. They're using your data that you pay for in your plans. They use your data in order to put out their stuff and to give you all these updates all the time. Phone and home on your dime. They're always getting you to pay for it. The insidiousness of this technology. Now they're going after your pictures and scanning. But you read through this story, there's a whole lot more, like I said, that it can do. They're just saying it can't. It's not yet. Google says the Safety Core provides an on-device infrastructure for securely and privately performing classification to help users detect unwanted content. The users control Safety Core, and Safety Core only classifies specific content when an app requests it through an optionally enabled feature. And once the users know it's there, that's all true. Per one tech forum this week, Google has quietly installed an app on all Android devices called Android System Safety Core. It claims to be a security application, but whilst running in the background, it collects call logs, contacts, location, your microphone, and much more, making this application spyware and a huge, huge privacy concern. It is strongly advised to uninstall this program if you can. To do this, navigate to Settings, Apps, then delete the application. If you, quote, don't trust Google, close quote, because as ZDNet points out, just because Safety Core doesn't phone home doesn't mean it can't call on another Google service to tell Google services and servers that you've been sending or taking sensitive pictures that you can stop it. You can find the option to uninstall or disable the device by tapping on Safety Core under System Apps in the main apps setting menu on your phone. So Google did remove Don't Be Evil, didn't it? So get the link. There's more to read and understand about this threat, and expand that to probably every other thing that's going on with these companies that are doing this. My thoughts turn to the government hacker that places images on your phone that are immediately captured by Google and then sent out and said that this is what you have that's sensitive. I think this would be a great tool for them to do that. For those of you who don't think you can be in trouble, all you got to do is get under the gaze of Sauron and you're fried. And that's all that this technology can do. And I don't, myself, I don't think it's worth even the hassle and the harassment who cares? They leave my phone. No, you don't have to look at my pictures. You don't have to look at my content, my log. You don't need to know all that. So it sounds like, as I've been advocating lightly and over time, that de-Googling is a good place to start for your mental health. Since they're making sure they don't like to look out for your vascular health, apparently, with these plastics they love to give us. But also on the mental health side, how to disable ACR on your smart TV and why you shouldn't wait to do it. Did you know that whenever you turn on your smart TV, you invite an unseen guest to watch it with you? As a TV operating system becomes smarter, they present new privacy concerns. Here's what automatic content recognition, or ACR, is all about and why you should consider turning it off. To understand how ACR works, imagine a constant, real-time Shazam-like service running in the background while your TV is on. It identifies content displayed on your screen, including programs from cable TV boxes, streaming services, or gaming consoles. ACR does this by capturing continuous screenshots and cross-referencing them with the vast database of media content and advertisements. Apparently, you can use Google to go place them on your phone, too. They don't like it. This is what this guy was watching. This gal was looking at this. According to the markup, ACR can capture and identify up to 7,200 images per hour, or approximately 2 images every second. This extensive tracking offers money-making insights to marketeers and to content distributors because it can reveal connections between viewers' personal information and their preferred content. By personal information, I mean email addresses, IP addresses, and even your physical street address. Because the ACR operates clandestinely in background, many of us aren't even aware of its actual presence each time you're enjoying our favorite shows. Opting out of using ACR is complex and sometimes challenging. Navigating through your TV settings might take several dozen clicks to protect your privacy better. If you, like me, perceive this feature to be intrusive or unsettling, there's a way to dismiss this data collection feature on your smart TV. It may take some patience, but below is a how-to list for 5 major brands demonstrating how to turn off the ACR. That's in the link. So get that link. See how to turn off the ACR. But how do you know if it's really off? Is a continuing question in my mind. You don't have control of these machines. How do you know they're off? And we found out you can turn stuff off of Google. It really doesn't go off. And then the other insight here, another Google service can pick it up. Yeah, it's looking, that other Google service looking right at it, too. Turn that off. You know, this is the problem about not having root. You don't have access to the base function of the computer. You're writing on some layer above their control. We have control of your television. Remember they used to tell us that a long time ago? Yeah. Well, now this is your television. So, how do you know it's really off? De-Google your phone. Maybe even DTV your life. Because getting smart is not too intelligent. As I keep saying over and over. And I don't know on this thing, it's going on a week now, I don't know what to say about this next series of tabs and the story. There's so much deception for both players here, and it is big news. I cannot deny that. But I couldn't get to it last week, so we're going to talk about it this week a little bit. It's still ongoing. It's going to go for a while. But just the dynamic, the thing that happened last week. Zelensky leaves White House early after spat with Trump was quite... What should I say? Oh, I guess I'll just read this story, and you'll realize what I think about all this. But I'm going to also give it what I believe, my insight about what I think's happening. Any of you that listen to me for any time, you probably already know where I'm going to be going pretty quickly. But don't underestimate how important this story is, but also don't underestimate what they're doing with the story as they try to keep us from understanding, well, keep their problem transparent to us, which I hope I'll explain or expose a bit. And we'll see how this expose goes through the future. In a way, Trump's in a no-lose position because of the way the players are set, the characters are set. And I think he knows that. And that's how he plays this, too. That's another thing about Trump. Pretty interesting what he looks at and where he positions himself relative to what seems to be, well, it's an unwinnable position, but you end up not knowing that. You think he comes out like the hero. You think he's the hero. But he's not. And I hope people see through this. I think my interest in this is to watch how we're being duped in all this, because I still think we, the people, have a ton of work to do. And we can't be persuaded that this guy, President Trump, is going to save the world. It's not going to happen. There's too many consistencies that there's nothing changed. You know, it's like the king is dead, long live the king. I don't see it. But anyway, we'll just start reading here, go through this broadcast, talking about this subject matter, and look at all the clues and watch, see if we can track down to where they might lead, and keep those out there for us in the future to watch how this thing plays out, and maybe get a better insight on how people in politics do what they do to keep the favor of the people and or lose the favor of the people. As we're seeing all in this whole dynamic here against Zelensky in the White House is that example. What was supposed to be a formal signing of a minerals agreement descended into a shouting match and bitter recriminations. Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky has been asked to leave the White House earlier without signing an agreement granting the U.S. rights to the country's natural resources for holding the planned joint press conference. The meeting between Zelensky and U.S. President Donald Trump and the Vice President J.D. Vance quickly devolved into an openly hostile confrontation, during which the U.S. head of state accused Zelensky of ungratefulness and unwillingness to negotiate an end to the Ukraine conflict. But the mineral steel, or any Zelensky ungratefulness, doesn't end the conflict, does it? So let's look very critically at what we're being told, but look and qualify these statements that are being made, that Trump's making. Despite the fact that the Ukrainian government reviewed the green-lighted the agreement on Wednesday, the deal has apparently been left in limbo after the fire exchange at the White House on Friday. So green-lit, as in green money here. Trump is counting his minerals before they hatched. No negotiating on any of this, if you notice. This is just disgraceful in my mind. I could not believe I was watching some of this. Again, after the fact. I don't keep up with it till after it makes a notice to be paying attention to. I thought it was disgraceful, that interaction, completely. Especially when you know, and using Trump's analogy, metaphor of gambling, he had the card. He has the only cards. Well, they didn't need to do this unless it was theatrics and for a reason. The meeting turned sour when Trump told Zelensky he had to negotiate peace with Russia, after which the Ukrainian leader dug his heels in and insisted that the U.S. should continue supporting his country. Vance soon joined the fray, reasserting Trump's remarks that Zelensky had failed to show enough respect and gratitude toward the U.S. In a post on X, journalist Jackie Hendrick wrote that Trump kicked out Zelensky. He did not walk off on his own. So Zelensky, in my view on this, looking at this whole interaction, or just a few minutes of it, actually, just in that bit, Zelensky proved himself not to be too smart, not too intelligent, I should say. Remember, smart is something else, isn't it? Now, wasn't it the United States that overthrew the government of Ukraine in 2014? Yes, it was. But isn't it that with or without United States weapons, Ukraine could not beat Russia? Yes, it is. And if you think different, you need to go do some studying. So Trump was actually making a false offer. Yet in the video attached to the link that I'll give you in the broadcast, you need to watch the video. Trump says, quote, "You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. But Zelensky never had any cards to play once he abandoned his campaign principles of peace. And when he acceded to the United States, or didn't call it out, and this is my main contention at this point here when we get into it, he didn't stop the vampire squid influence government that was installed there either, correct? But now because the United States lost its cards to play against Russia, the U.S. blames Zelensky through the U.S. and NATO were actually in control the entire time. And when Zelensky doesn't agree to the United States demanding that if Ukraine wants to continue fighting a war, not making peace, but to continue the war that NATO and the United States created to the last Ukrainian, it will have to give up its minerals and other landed wealth to U.S. interests. Or Ukraine will have to now go it alone, Trump told me. Trump said, you're either going to make a deal or we're out. And if we're out, you'll fight it out. And I don't think it's going to be a pretty, Trump insisted. That in the art of the steal, the prior Ukrainian money laundering system being found out, the U.S. greed, as in money, new steal, is that if Ukraine wants weapons to protect itself in war caused by NATO and through deceptive promises, it will have to provide green to pay for weapons in the form of extorted wealth from here on out. In other words, as I said prior, Trump doesn't want peace if he can steal the wealth of another country to continue war. That's not being a peacemaker in the least. Trump's no peacemaker. He's a peace taker when he can use that art of the steal and can get away with it. So Trump is a gambler, not a peacemaker, who is telling Zelensky, or that the puppet holds no cards that weren't put there by Team America, that you have to know when to fold them, but now with interest. And Zelensky declined that extortion. So, note to self. Your hand puppet can give you a black eye if you lean in too close to it. So let's review Trump's position on this. He doesn't have a direct hand to play with Russia. Well, unless he starts the World War III he blames Zelensky with, that NATO is pining for. So what does that mean that without U.S. weapons, Ukraine loses? And it will be ugly. It means Russia is taking over Ukraine in its stated goals of denazification and demilitarization and to neutralize Ukraine being a NATO threat, which all will be ugly for Trump, as Zelensky, the hand puppet, is irrelevant at that point. So Trump's bet, his gamble with all the cards against Ukraine through the whole of Ukraine on the table as a wager, may not pay off against Russia's hand. So what's Zelensky's trump card? It's what Zelensky failed to explain about the situation with the non-existent shady hand dealt to the not-so-innocent Ukraine when Zelensky had the chance in the White House to set the record straighter, to tell the truth, and not let Trump get away with it, which is that Ukraine never had cards to play, actually, due to the United States' coup interference and undue influence in Ukraine in 2014, right, Zio Clown Newland? Blinken? Nor that any mineral steal does not cure the trespass, nor satisfy the demands of Russia, and that the U.S. is only now reestablishing the barest of communication lines with it and could not have satisfied, despite Trump's bluster and braying, all the things that they're demanding of Zelensky at this point. That if Trump wasn't continuing the prior administration's plunder of Ukraine through war, now by other deceptive means, any deal would not include extortion and furtherance of war, but would include a viable path to lasting peace, which gambler Trump or Vance have failed to do. When Pinocchio Lenski didn't say these truths, at least this gave Trump and tag-teaming Vance an extreme advantage without attribution of any fault. So notice that Trump is okay with using the last Ukrainian as a bargaining chip for the steal, which is not the legacy of anyone I've ever heard of that was ever intended, as Trump states his intention, to be remembered as a peacemaker. This is a lurid display of deception, and it's sickening to witness, actually, as I got to more thinking about it. And a deal or no deal, Ukrainians, and now very young Ukrainians as well. The Russians are going to continue to die. Both of these groups of people are dying for the trillionaires, the Black Rocks, the State Streets, the Vanguards, etc. But the billionaires like Trump carry water for them to all of our detriment. This is so despicable. Such an indecency. Criminals operating under cover of righteousness. All of them are Trump. Morally reprehensible conduct. Trump comes out smelling like a rose in front of the lying Pinocchio Linsky when they are all putrid to the core. And they did that because Pinocchio Linsky lied by omission by not explaining the truth, which would have put Trump in his place. But Trump is starting without a deck of cards. Or he stacked the deck, if you will, against Zelensky. And Russia's sitting with Pat with its hand this whole time. Trump gets away with it because, being a puppet, Zelensky didn't take Trump behind the woodshed with a dose of reality about the truth. And this is what I'm getting just from a couple of minutes of watching that interaction in the White House. And I'll provide a link also to an ex-Twitter post to find a vid that a partial transcript of the dialogue during the SmackDown event. It was described, I think, by Nick Sortor. Zelensky is getting absolutely eviscerated in the Oval Office right now. VP Vance, do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country? And Trump jumps in. Tag teamer. You don't have the cards right now with us. You start having cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. But Zelensky didn't start this, actually. The coup of the United States government did. So who is actually looking toward World War III? Now, what you remember about last episode, who I was reading about? I'm going to get to that in a second. Those are another reminder of it. Who was actually doing it? What was the setup here that Zelensky could have exposed that he doesn't? So his nose grew a little bit longer in the omission to explain the truth to the world. And in that WWE White House tag team bout, in the golden age of accountability, not losing one's federal employment is not being held accountable. I noticed this interaction, which seems typical of those not paying attention, that when the cats are away, the uniparty rats are playing both ends against the middleman. And this was written from Matthew, or exposed and explained to people, posted to people from Matthew Nichol on ex-Twitter. The rumor has it that traitors Anthony Blinken, Victoria Nuland, Susan Rice, and Victoria Vindman advised Zelensky to stand tall in his meeting with Trump. If true, they are acting as foreign agents violating the Logan Act. Now, there's a couple of fun puns in there. Zelensky standing tall? I don't think so. But let's look a little bit closely on these foreign actors. Are they foreign agents, actually? And then Cat Turd replies, arrest them all for treason. And I looked at that and that dynamic and what I see going on and what struck me about what's really happening with the deception and all that's happening. You know, it seems to me that Cat Turd has no clue. For those of you who don't know, Cat Turd is a name of an account. Some guy, I think he's in Florida. A very popular guy. Certainly not like the guy behind Woodshed. But I don't think Cat Turd has a clue, actually, when you start looking at the lineage of how this thing lays out. Or maybe, that Cat Turd is blissfully participating in the Cat Box cover-up. Besides prematurely responding upon mere rumor, he's asking Red Team to arrest Blue Team. So this rumor, if not true, stops right there. No need to reply, nothing more to say. If it's true, though, it would tend to prove why Zelensky didn't put Trump in his place by telling the truth P.T. Barnabas just admitted to, exposing the Trump administration knows it was being deceitful relative to Ukraine, weapons for minerals, with peace and peace flying cover as well. That's another, like I say, unwarranted. You know, they just use that as a cover. Pinocchio Linsky was advised by the Blue Team opposition, so-called, to stand tall. In doing so, he played into the SmackDown and did not protest the U.S. coup because that is crucial for the cover-up. That doesn't get brought to light as any kind of factor. Blue Team is not The blue team was what I just mentioned that Nick mentions. The blue team is not acting as foreign agents, as Matthew suggests, but the same deep state self-interested operatives Trump is working for. Or, as summarized in this Trump cheerleading article after the White House kerfuffle, and these are just tabs I pick up and notice the continuum of them, folks. You can see this too. I'm sure lots of you do. But I see enough people that don't understand some of this deception and deceit that goes on. And in particular, remember, I'm not even yet talking, although I've alluded to it by calling him Zio-Linsky. There's a players behind the players that are really seemingly driving a lot of this too. What I'm speaking to as well. They're all running parallel. Trump names conditions for resuming the talks with Zelensky after he tosses him out unceremoniously. He's asking, he says, oh, I have conditions for you. So let's take note. Trump is in no position to name the conditions that Russia will accept. And Russia has insisted that peace does not include any ceasefire. Rather, peace requires an agreement addressing root causes for the conflict. That we read that the U.S. president insists he will only speak with a like-minded leader who, quote, wants to end the bloodshed. This is coming from a leader that just tried to make a deal to provide weapons for minerals so the Ukraine could fight. It's a fairly schizophrenic sounding, isn't it? Especially while sending another almost $4 billion Bravo dollars to illegally belligerently occupying Israel to kill Palestinians. Speaking to reporters after a tense meeting with Zelensky at the White House on Friday, Trump accused the Ukrainian leader of overplaying his hand and failing to demonstrate a genuine desire to end the conflict with Russia. Can I interject right here? He just said he has no cards to play. I told you those cards are the U.S. cards. He's got to be overplaying a hand he doesn't have. Yet this is Trump's metaphor, not mine. This is his analogy, not mine. And now Trump is lamenting that Zelensky has no cards to play. Just recent news. I don't know what another word. Schizophrenic keeps coming to mind about this. This is not intelligence. This is not 10D. This is not multiple steps ahead. No, this is, does he actually understand what's going on? But quote, we're looking for peace, Trump said. Okay, minerals for weapons is peace in his mind. Think about this now, folks. It's like defense is war. The Department of War of the United States is defense. Peace through strength, the most deceptive statement I've heard in a long time, as it's being applied. All coming from this administration. But I had the highest expectations could happen so much better than we're watching it devolve so quickly. At least the way I'm perceiving what's going on. And understand, this is all based in what I've researched over probably 30 years of study and looking at things and trying to figure out what the heck happened to this place. We're looking for peace, Trump stated. We're not looking for somebody that's going to sign up a strong power and then not make peace because they feel emboldened. He's looking to go on and fight to fight and fight. We're looking to end the deaths. Trump said earlier, we're going to give us your minerals for weapons so you can fight. Trump said that if Ukraine agreed to the mineral deal, it received the right to fight on. These are quotes. Weapons for minerals is not intending peace. And I hope maybe you get tired of hearing that this broadcast. Because it's being promoted, it's not being promoted in the way that it ought to be promoted, and yet that's what went on, and we hear peace, but Trump would have given weapons to continue war if minerals were a part of that deal. Weapons for minerals are not intending peace, nor does saying that, quote, without the United States and its money and its military equipment, this war would have been over in a very short period of time. which means the United States, including Trump 1.0, isn't intending peace from as far back as 2015 after the U.S. coup of Ukrainian democracy. Because, well, democracy. If the United States had not overthrown the Ukrainian government in its bid to attack Russia, this would have not continued whatsoever. It would have been over in a very short period of time, as Trump said. It would have never started. And Trump, the peace taker, went on to add relevant to Trump 1.0. In fact, he said, I was the one that gave the javelins, he said proudly. So let me ask this question. This question remains unasked and unanswered by anyone during or since the tag team mauling match at the White House between Pinocchio Linsky and the puppet master Trump Vance SmackDown tag team duo on home turf, no less, in the puppet master's shop. The question is, if peace is the intention, how does a deal trading minerals for weapons to aid and abet Ukraine to fight, stop the bloodshed, killing, death, and destruction, or make peace? Can someone explain that to me? Because the SmackDown tag team isn't talking. And the truth, Trump, let's say, stay silent, is that the U.S. didn't just orchestrate the political coup in 2014, but as we heard them and being portrayed as it's being portrayed now, had its fingers in most every aspect of Ukraine's economic pie. Ukraine was never actually a nation. I've explained why. A rump state is at best as it could be. It wasn't a sovereignty like they were saying. I explained all that. It's a pie for the not-so-careful taking through the art of the steal. And we have an article from Scott Ritter. U.S. had its fingers in every aspect of the Ukrainian pie. Aside from preparing Ukraine for guerrilla warfare and conducting anti-Russian propaganda operations, the U.S. and the CIA built 20 bases throughout the country, former U.S. Marine Corps intelligence officer Scott Ritter told Sputnik. Hunter Biden's position on the board of major Ukrainian energy company Burisma also shows that the United States had its finger in every aspect of the Ukrainian economic pie. Ukraine, Ritter explained, is just a tool U.S. tried to use to defeat Russia, a tool that wasn't even aware of every aspect of the grand plan. Puppet mean hand. How's that? Quote, a hammer does not know the intent of an architect. America was the architect of the Ukrainian project. Ukraine is just the hammer, just like Europe, he said. Commenting on the recent clash between J.D. Vance and Zelensky, Ritter noted that Vance is the, quote, the vice president of the United States who has received some of the best intelligence there is about the reality of Ukraine. Zelensky is an actor who reads from a script as part of a play that's being controlled by others, he remarked. And answers why Pinocchio Linsky didn't put up the sort of challenge which would have trumped Trump. And notice the emotionalizing evidence of the ongoing deception, and also observe the scripted nature suggests strongly to look for who you didn't see in the White House SmackDown ring with the other U.S. government blue team puppets, the handlers of Pinocchio Linsky, arguing with the U.S. government red team in Trump and Vance. And no peace was made. But strike while the iron's hot. The promotion begins, right? Obama. GOP lawmakers nominate Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize. No one deserves it more, Republican U.S. Representative Daryl Issa said in the post on X Monday, announcing that he is nominating President Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize. Really? People fall for this cat turd? Issa, who represents California's 48th district, tells Fox News, you get that, folks? California, blue state, 48th district, tells Fox News that Trump's election last year tangibly kickstarted the cause of peace. In numerous regions of the world, and we are already seeing benefits. Not since Ronald Reagan has an American president better represented the national resolve of peace through strength of the fundamental case for a world without war, Issa said. No one? And the United States started it? And it continued by Trump 1.0? And peace was only offered, but not provided, or possible, in a weapons for minerals extortion attempt. Maybe Issa is the same advisor to Starmer. Have we located another foreign agent? This is like rewarding the arsonist for calling 9/11 to have the fire department he works for put the fire out. Right, Barack Drone King Obama? Are you hopefully getting a new perspective on what's been going on here, folks? You hear the promotion? It was started with, we can see P.T. Barnum Musk, rat. Starting this whole thing this way. We're going to tell a lie enough that people believe it. We're not seeing anything, actually. And if you look deeper, as I've been explaining a little bit here, weapons for weapons is not peace. That is the key to show that it's all a lie. And that starts to open up more of who we may be dealing with. Set up as a messiah. We were set up for the takedown. It's quite astonishing to me. I did see, I hope you could hear it, a little bit different. Oh, I'm actually hoping that you saw this too. But if not, I'm hoping you hear me, what I'm saying. That if, even if I'm not absolutely right, pick up the pieces that are correct, carry them to the next point. There's a huge, huge deception going on. And I can't believe people are really following it. There's no, seemingly no critical thought. On the other hand, there's just a dismissal. And I want us to understand what the real problems are so we can work through the problem, not be so dismissive that we aren't functional, and then not so cheerleading that we actually bring more people on, like we saw what happened in the Great Kofi Swindle. 80% of the population of the world was swindled. I'm blown away. I'm blown away. I don't even know what to say. And there was no reason for it. But Trump did not solve the problem with the little dictator, as he called Zelensky last week. Again, watch how this will work out. Ukraine defies Trump, as Zelensky unanimously backed. And this is another point I touch on relative to Russia. See, Trump has no cards against Russia. And that's the important problem here for them. Trump's trying to make a deal, trying to make it swing a deal underneath the color of peacemaker, but that's not the truth either. That's also to smudge out what's actually happened, cover up what's going on. And I think that's what's indicative of why we're seeing the USA thing going away. As I said, they're reorganizing that whole structure, and the collaborators are being killed off while the new structure, new hidden structure, is starting to engage itself. And we can see it in so-called business deals, but they're not true either. But Ukraine stood up. And this is when Trump called Zelensky a dictator. And this is all based on the fact in the, I think it's childish, competition that even Musk brought. In fact, I sent an ex-Twitter back to him. Is it important whether there's a landslide or not that Zelensky wins or loses? What it is if you have an election, there's going to be a legitimate leader Russia can talk with. That's what's important. That's what stops the conflict. Not the deals Trump makes. Not the names that we can call. Not the finger pointing that went on in the WWE White House SmackDown with a puppet versus the puppet master, blaming the puppet for not having a card and now lamenting that the puppet doesn't have any cards at all. Just phenomenal stupidity behind this. But it's all, again, a show. But we'll get to that, I suppose. Ukraine's parliament has defied President Donald Trump. The push to hold elections after the unanimously voted to affirm Volodymyr Zelensky's presidency, according to a member of parliament, Yaroslav Zelaznaya, a post in Telegram. Ukraine's passing of the resolution sends a message to the U.S. and the world about their support for Zelensky, as it directly follows Trump's false claim but his approval rating was down to 4%. The vote also comes after Zelensky offered to step down in order to achieve peace and secure Kiev's NATO membership. Remember this little continuum that he's been throwing out there, and he says it, he perfects that again after the kerfuffle. We're going to put importance on this. Not that it's possible or impossible. Somebody wants it. Somebody wants something like it. And there's a reason behind that. And I touched on that last episode, and we'll get to that gentleman in that discussion, that speech, in a moment, I think. The vote may make peace negotiations with Russia and the U.S. more difficult, as Moscow may not be willing to negotiate with Zelensky. Okay, I just said that, right? I didn't say it. Russia's been saying it all along. After May, Zelensky was illegitimate, period. They weren't going to talk and make deals with someone they believe was illegitimate up front. The easy answer, which became more complicated, has become more complicated, even the opposition saying, no, this isn't going to happen over in Ukraine, was to put in a legitimate president. Russia has already said they won't deal with Zelensky because he's illegitimate. The Constitution says that the parliament is the only legitimate party and they have a leader. They might consider doing that. But see, it's up into question. Russia's gotten down to the brass tacks on black and white, what's raw, what's going to be accepted, what has no way out, even though there's going to be a lie. We're going to make sure our paperwork is right. Same thing I tell you all, folks, when you're doing stuff. Make sure you're right, even if you're facing corruption. So, and this thing came down, and in fact, Russia doesn't appear they recognize the Ukrainian parliament's recognition of Zelensky pursuant to Lavrov's latest comments referring to Pinocchio Zelensky as the illegitimate one, is what he called it. So this is not persuading Russia either, and you have to persuade Russia here. This is BTWRLM 619. And what is Zelensky's real mission in life? He'll tell you. He tells us in a video. I got a link. You get that in the broadcaster or wherever you have a syndication account with links. He tells us in the video link, he says, it is in Ukraine getting into NATO. I have fulfilled my mission. Follow that through, it means World War III. So who put him up to starting World War III? Remember, the United States did the coup. That took it away from the Ukrainian government. Zelensky's in there on a peace ticket. He gets in, becomes the puppet of the United States. I don't know why he didn't support himself. He could have done that in the White House again, reasserted that right there. And now his mission is to become NATO. Who might be there? Well, there's a couple people. I say people, but they're nations. And a potential rationale for why he does this, this is maybe a more immediate political response, is provided by Putin's cat over there on Telegram. The reason his mission is World War III is because that's the only scenario that he might survive. His only way out is if NATO comes in and takes over the fight with Russia directly. That's his plan. But realistically, he would need to the U.S. in order to pull it off. Zelensky and his deep state handlers are literally trying to initiate full-scale World War III in an effort to cover up the largest money laundering scheme in history and crimes against humanity for bioweapon development. This is not about Ukraine's sovereignty, which I'll interject. They have never really had, right? I've been telling you about that too, but last little sentence here. Putin's cat says, this is about covering up unfathomable criminality. And when we realize the applicability of the intention of the speech of the Zionista rabbi in 1952 that I read last episode, we can gain another clue if we need more, narrowing the field for who the deep state handlers of the handlers are. Initiate full-scale World War III to include Russia and the United States, is what the rabbi said. It particularly was about the leaders. Okay, so there's a possibility, potential, and probability all sitting here lining up totally different than what the promotions are, the cheerleading is around Trump, the peacemaker and messiah that he's supposed to be, and the hypocrisy relative to what he's doing over there in Palestine. It's mind-boggling a bit, but not so. It's not so mind-boggling it makes you nuts. It actually is clarifying in large part. And again, I'm back to where, well, I was hoping we could trust. We can't trust. None of them. And how integrated is the U.S. after the 2014 U.S. political coup that Russia was required to counter by protecting the eastern Ukrainians from the United States, to encourage ethnic cleansing? We read, Zelensky's lies exposed. Did Palantir give Trump and Vance the real Ukraine intel? And what about the lies of the United States pretending it has nothing to do with Ukraine? That Zelensky is doing it all? An uncontrollable little Zio warmonger? While Vladimir Zelensky brazenly questioned J.D. Vance's knowledge of Ukraine in the White House slapdown, Donald Trump and his Veep may have already exposed all his corrupt schemes. Palantir turns Ukraine into an AI war lab. As Time magazine boasted, the tech giant Palantir Technologies embedded its state-of-the-art analytics AI software in Ukraine's government's operations in June of 2022. More than half of a dozen Ukraine agencies, including the Ministry of Defense, Digital Transformation, Economy, and Education, now rely on Palantir. Does that sound familiar, Palantir, folks? Right up around Trump's nick ear, right? The company has access to virtually all Ukraine's data, from real-time satellite and drone footage to financial and economic records, according to media. Beyond its military AI solutions, Palantir is also tasked with rooting out corruption in Ukraine, effectively making it the Zelensky regime's invisible watchdog. Now consider the technoswamp and Musk, supposed to be the efficiency expert who started to pick out USAID. Palantir's deep ties to the CIA, Pentagon, and Trump. Founded in 2003, Palantir was backed by the CIA's venture arm of InQtel, and worked in U.S. NATO operations in Afghanistan and Iraq. What's more, billionaire Peter Thiel, Palantir's co-founder, has been loyal to Trump, an ally, since 2016. Thiel mentored J.D. Vance, the vice president, since 2011, backed his Narya Capital, and donated $10 million to his Senate campaign in 2021. With Palantir's insider access, it likely holds intel on Ukraine's corrupt misuse of funds, forced conscriptions, and more, intel Thiel could have shared with Trump and Vance. Rumors suggest Palantir's AI may have been used by Elon Musk's Doge team, hinting that Kiev's schemes could already be exposed, much like USAID's murky dealings. As it is out there, so it is at home. Private techno-swamp creatures in the Trump-filled swamp that Trump, not the blue team's USAID plans to make his next fascist public-private deal in through the art of the steal, is just as you've been told, with that dose of reality behind the woodshed. This is already known, what's going on. The blue team speaking to Pinocchio Linsky to stand tall, as short as he is, against this, what we saw WWE, red team, attacking them, to not expose the deep state takeover of Ukraine and what its purpose is what I started to focus on. And there's players behind that. And I've just mentioned a couple on top of it. It's the story that we're seeing, the peacemaker, is the cover, to cover all that that's changing. It's moving and adjusting. It's evolving. I don't see it going really anywhere. And we can see that hypocrisy, as I mentioned earlier, the peace taker, humanitarian Nobel Prize candidate, $4 billion buck Trumpster watches as Israel and Satan Yehu commit more war crimes as they halt entry of aid to Gaza. West Jerusalem has accused Hamas of rejecting his ceasefire extension. No, Satan Yehu has done that. They say West Jerusalem like it's some place. No, these are some war criminals. It's like, focus our attention somewhere else. Notice here, Satan Yehu has accused Hamas of rejecting a ceasefire extension. Notice there's no due process here either. Just a unilateral condemnation, judgment, and execution against Semitic Palestinians. But Health Secretary RFK Jr. dare not claim anti-Semitism. There's a little post about that coming. Israel has halted all humanitarian aid to Gaza, citing a refusal by the militant group Hamas to extend phase one of an internationally brokered ceasefire deal that expired on Saturday. Again, read that paragraph and you see the word militant. An illegally belligerently occupied people resisting is not militant. It's a right. The Israel Prime Minister's office made the announcement in a post on X on Sunday. Quote, with the conclusion of the first stage of the hostage deal and in light of Hamas's refusal to accept Witkoff framework for the continuation of the talks, to which Israel agreed, PM Netanyahu, Satan Yehu, decided, as of this morning, entry of all goods and supplies to the Gaza Strip is halted. The statement read. According to the public broadcaster Khan, Israel believes that enough aid has entered the enclave in recent weeks to sustain Hamas for months. According to the Witkoff framework, the proposal by U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, the truce should be prolonged during the Ramadan and Passover holidays period through April. Why didn't Witkoff summon Satan Yehu to the meeting with Zelensky to have Trump and Vance tell each leader the same thing as Trump told and said about Ukraine if Trump is the peacemaker? If Trump is so inspired, how about asserting a mineral deal for Israel to pay back America for the weapons it needs to commit its genocide? Hamas rejected this plan on Saturday, urging Israel to move forward with the second phase instead. Brokered by the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt, the ceasefire deal is supposed to encompass three phases, each lasting 42 days, as I reported a long while back. So the U.S. has already agreed to something other than Witkoff offers, and certainly not as decisive as was offered to Ukraine to continue to make war, and just after Trump just authorized over $3 billion worth of weapons to Israel, but without a mineral deal to pay for it, and no ceasefire deal. On Sunday, Hamas described Satan Yehu's decision to halt humanitarian aid into Gaza as, quote, cheap blackmail and a coup against the ceasefire deal. Yeah, America first, Israel firster is not a U.S. constitutional provision. Worse than that, let's sweep these war crimes under the journalistic rug. But war means wealth, and I mean jobs, Britannia. Having starved you before promising sea rations, the war promo is on. Going for peace, folks, worldwide. Increased military spending will make Brits richer, Starmer says. Referenced this guy before. Here we are right now. Richer, folks. Does he mean like rich like the king? The UK is set to spend 2.5% of its gross national income on defense starting in 2027. What does the government of the king produce that it takes credit for this? National income? And beyond that, the money comes from where? Increasing military spending will strengthen the economy and make British citizens wealthier, Prime Minister Keir Starmer has claimed. And this wealth is debt paper, right? that the king won't extort back in taxes and other exactions of every kind and to no other, right? Just like in the United States, which extortion of the Congress nor the Trump administration is any further along to eliminate to bring a measure of peace to the people, despite all the campaign rhetoric. But America is independent of the crown, right? I hope my listener said no. The UK government has committed to raising defense expenditures for several years, citing both security and economic benefits. Quote, increasing defense spending will bolster our national security and help to put more money in people's pockets, Starmer said on Monday in a post on X. The money or debt in the moth-eaten pockets of the king's subject? Is that what we're expecting? Someone want to explain to me, aside from the childish boogeyman he's conjured up, Russia, 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 Putin, Putin, who the enemy is that Starmer is afeard about that national security needs to be bolstered? For instance, like you live on an island, folks. But anyway, the Prime Minister also highlighted that the policy would create, quote, more opportunities for good, skilled jobs by enabling smaller businesses to benefit from increased defense investment. So war means jobs, not peace. And it means jobs to people that are being starved out under the watchful eye of the king, and who, by the way, received Pinocchio Linsky with smiles all around. You saw that picture. Don't track it down. You see what I'm saying? The commitment to increase military spending comes amid a growing rift between the U.S. and Western Europe over the future of the Ukraine conflict. What threat to the UK is the Ukrainian conflict that Russia's hypersonic weapons and nukes are not already, that the UK thinks poking the bear is a good idea for the king's subjects and to work, well, except for the threat that psychopaths in the UK, such as Starmer, that insist on war poses to the British people. Starmer expressed his unwavering support for Kiev after speaking with both U.S. President Donald Trump and Ukraine's Vladimir Zelensky following a heated argument between them at the White House last week. I just almost couldn't hold myself on that one. This is the president and Donald Trump that said peace, peace, peace. And this guy says, nope, I got unwavering support for Kiev that wants to go fight, fight, fight. But why is it unwavering, like unconditional acceptance, like Israel? Why is it unwavering? Trump and the U.S. government instigator of the Ukraine conflict just announced it's wavering. What greater interest can Great Britain have beyond that? Britain, along with the several EU members, have opted to continue supplying Kiev with military assistance. Why? What is the decision based on? Earlier this week, Starmer confirmed that London was already to deploy troops to Ukraine as part of a previous announced coalition of the willing, aiming to secure peace. How does this not evidence a serious mental condition from those who decided to send others to war? But going to an unnecessary war will bring peace, folks. Does my listener think so? I think so. There's a lot of peace and quiet to being dead. Don't be part of the coalition of the willing dupes to these mentally defective types, folks. Especially you Brits. You really have, I know you don't have freedom of speech, but you really have to defend yourself here. This is just lunacy. Russia has condemned the Western arms shipments to Ukraine, warning that they only prolong the conflict without changing the outcome. And that doesn't sound like war for military industrial complex jobs will be securing any peace to me. How does it nuclearly strike you? And Starmer wants you to go to war despite the U.S. government knowing it overthrew the Ukrainian government in 2014. And by the end of the week, it's admitted by the United States government de facto press secretary P.T. Barnabas, proving what the dose of reality you got behind the woodshed gave you years ago, and evidencing the WWE White House SmackDown event was for entertainment purposes only, a stage predicated on a mass of lies, whether stated by Pinocchio Linsky or through omission by the Trump-Vance tag team, not admitting to this very truth that very few people remember U.S. overthrew Ukrainian government, says Muskrat. Oh, you didn't hear that behind the woodshed in all these years. No, we got to listen to Muskrat tell us. The de facto secretary of the press for the White House. This also means you, my listener, are one of the few in the entire world when you get behind the woodshed that know. How cool is that? Actually, it's pretty scary. The depth of ignorance in the world, isn't it? I mean, really scary. The billionaire recalled Senator Chris Murphy's admissions that Washington helped to usher in regime change in 2014. Oh, that didn't make it to the WWE SmackDown, did it? And Pinocchio Linsky could have said it and nailed Trump's foot to the floor right there. Many Americans have forgotten that it was the U.S. that helped overthrow the legitimate Ukrainian government in 2014, plunging the country into turmoil for years to come, Elon Musk has said. On the next Twitter, I asked somebody, what is the tariffs on a barrel of turmoil? I haven't got an answer back yet, but thought it was a pretty poignant question, actually. On Monday, Musk responded to a clip of U.S. Senator Chris Murphy discussing Washington's role during the 2013-2014 Maidan protests in Kiev, which led to the ouster of then-Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych. The video featured the Democrat admitting that the U.S. had, quote, not sat on the sidelines, close quote, during the unrest. Murphy also recalled that, quote, we have been very much involved, close quote, with top U.S. lawmakers and officials attending the protest on the Maidan Square. Why do any of us need Musk to tell us this, as if he's outing this Democrat? By saying, oh, many have forgotten. Is it to be aligned with the Unipart, to make sure Musk now aligns with both sides here? Well, we knew, is all they're saying. Murphy also noted the U.S. has been vested in economic interest in Ukraine, but turns to the West, which has the key goal of the protesters. If Ukraine is part of European Union and thus is part of this new trade agreement with the United States, that could result in billions of dollars in new economic opportunities for the United States, he explained. We shouldn't be shy about making clear that interest. That interest is the economic interest. Right? Minerals for weapons. Fight, fight, fight. Peacemaker. Musk responded to the clip writing on X, still very few people know about this. In February 2023, Musk was one of the closest allies of United States President Trump, suggested that no question that there was indeed a coup in Kiev in 2014. Again, they knew then it didn't make it to the White House SmackDown, did it? The Tesla and X owners' remarks come after the heated clash in the White House between Ukrainian leader Vladimir Zelensky and Trump, during which the U.S. president accused Zelensky of ingratitude for American aid and reluctance to make peace with Russia. Would you exude gratitude for plunging your country into a war with Russia? Following the feud, which also derailed a much-anticipated U.S.-Ukrainian mineral resources deal for weapons, I'll add that, Musk suggested that Zelensky could retire to a neutral country and be granted amnesty in an exchange for a peaceful transition back to democracy in Ukraine. So the only thing thought I had, Musk is a deep state intelligence operative. Not in name, indeed. Because you know him when you see him. Right, Francis? Law of War, Lieber. Zelensky's presidential term expired last spring, although the Ukrainian leader has refused to call a new election, citing martial law. Russia has branded him illegitimate, insisting that power in Ukraine now lies with parliament. Last month, Trump labeled Zelensky a dictator without elections, although he later appeared to backtrack on that accusation. Well, that was only to bring him back into the fold when he found out the puppet has no cards to play. It was all part of the steal, the art of the steal, right, BlackRock? In the suit of false pretense, right, Trump? Because what else is Pinocchio Linsky going to do with the U.S. government handler with its fingers all in your pie? Right, President Trump? Card, gold or otherwise, folks? Remember the coup, folks. Never forget. Cuckoo, catchu. Right, AIPAC supportive John the Walrus Bolton? Right? And speaking of the trumped art of the steal, in a suit of false pretense, BlackRock strikes deal to bring ports on both sides of Panama Canal under American control. You keeping up with this, folks? This is almost too fast for me. I don't have much to talk about, really, about how fast this is moving. It's just, can't even talk about it. It's already changed. Look how fast these trillionaire bankers are gobbling stuff up underneath this. And tell me how much better your life is that fast. BlackRock strikes a deal to bring ports on both sides of Panama Canal under American control. A Hong Kong-based conglomerate has agreed to sell its controlling stake in a subsidiary that operates ports near the Panama Canal to a consortium including BlackRock Incorporated, effectively putting the ports under American control after President Donald Trump alleged Chinese interference with the operations of the critical shipping lane. Let me interject. It's a corporation. It's an investment banker in the world. It's not American control unless America controls their board. And then who's on the board? And who's on the investments? Maybe we have a deeper dive. Maybe AI can help us figure all this out. Who's actually controlling all this? In a filing, CK Hutchinson Holdings said Tuesday that it would sell all shares of Hutchinson Port Authority Holdings in the Hutchinson Port Group Holdings to the consortium in a deal valued at over $23 billion, including $5 billion in debt. The deal will give the BlackRock Consortium Group over 43 ports in 23 countries, including the ports of Balboa and Cristobal, located at either end of the Panama Canal. Other ports are in Mexico, the Netherlands, Egypt, Australia, Pakistan, and elsewhere. Who's controlling your shipping now? Transactions, which must be approved by Panama's government, does not include any interest in a trust that operates ports in Hong Kong, Shenzhen, and South China, or any other ports in China. Some 70% of the sea traffic that crosses the Panama Canal leaves or goes to U.S. ports. The United States built the canal in the early 1900s as it looked for ways to facilitate the transit of commercial and military vessels between its coasts. Washington relinquished control of the waterway to Panama on December 31, 1999, under a treaty signed in 1977 by President Jimmy Carter. Trump has claimed that Carter foolishly gave the canal away. I want to interject a little bit, not much. It was actually a leasing system that went off, and they had to adjust it. And there is a clause that says the United States has some interest remaining, but this was not owned by China. Notice it was in, the companies were in Hong Kong on top of that. And if the United States was a holder, the government itself would be gaining title to this operation. And I thought about that is why didn't Trump put that in the sovereign fund he wants to build and or support our Social Security, our Medicaid, and the all that stuff if that's what they want to say is going away because they've mismanaged it all. Why is it going to BlackRock and Group? Why is it going to the Chosen and Group? foolishly gave it away? Well, did Trump pick it up? Or did they give it to the chosen? The bankers of the world. It's not terrific. Trump now foolishly gives it to the chosen bankers. BlackRock, the New York-based global investment management company with $11.6 trillion Tango dollars in assets under management as of December 31st. The consortium includes BlackRock subsidiary Global Infrastructure Partners and Terminal Investment Limited. The art of the steal, folks. The art of the steal. But notice how they do this nested corporation situation, trusts and foundations and things. Take note, whether you do it or not, but just watch how they do that. That's why it's so hard sometimes to track these folks back. And they know to do that, so it makes it very hard to do. But BlackRock picked it right up. TechnoSwamp, all right there. But speaking of the Trump administration deep state operatives, or Secretary Kennedy, anti-Semitism, like racism, is a spiritual and moral malady that sickens societies, that kills people with lethalities comparable to history's most deadly plagues. Pretty poetic, isn't it? In recent years, the censorship and false narratives of woke cancel culture have transformed our great universities. That was an ex post. David Icke replies, and there was lots of people who replied. David Icke had a particular statement he wanted to make. I thought I wanted to repeat that, just to keep it very narrow. David Icke replies, I despair briefly at how hundreds of millions of people, at least, cannot see that a government controlled to its DNA by Israel is not there to put America first or fight globalism. Their hero, Kennedy, now wants to target freedom of speech justified by anti-Semitism after coming out to promote vaccines that he spent years condemning. The man personifies the bait-and-switch government that has ensnared its own supporters by telling them what they want to hear while covertly and very publicly doing the opposite, as always planned. Kennedy has long been an Israel apologist and would not have been hired by Trump Musk government unless he was. Here he is speaking in the summer of 2023. It don't age well. And I replied to David, and it seems most all these types don't know what a Semitic people are or whom they be. The ultimate false narrative of woke culture spread like a cancer through mankind by a health secretary is a fair identifying test, the lack of recognition of the people of Palestine. Supporters ensnared by telling them what they want to hear, just as I've explained it, exposing and warning and identifying that the cat box cover-up was going on. Right, Cat Terror? That's no different a statement in different words than I've been telling you for years all about these very same points. We're dealing with a bunch of psychopaths that justify war and make it look like peace. If we thought woke culture was cancel culture, woke culture was just the Dems, you're watching the Republicans, the so-called conservatives, doing it right in your face. And I see the cheerleaders come out. They give us just enough scraps to make it palatable. But not. I'm not so induced and so enticed. Clearly. A lot of you aren't. But us just observing and not engaging some of this is going to be... We're going to watch this thing go further down quicker. I just can't tell you how imperative it is to understand the Siberian Gulag, what's being set up around that. The Matrix is not a movie. I don't see how people don't see that and start to understand and help each other just avoid that at all costs, it seems. So we have this warmongering world, it seems, all hiding under peace. We give, you know, a president that... targeted his own citizens extrajudicially with drone strikes that Obama, who gave him the Peace Prize. Now, Trump, who talks peace, but doesn't do a bit of it, is being nominated by, what, the blue state. We have a voice that's out there that has, in a way, no legitimacy either, but as I've said, if we now jump to the ICC, they call it a court. it's an advisory court, and so we got some limitation on jurisdiction. But, as I've said to you, if you read international law, you can read international law. It's not written to be not understood. It's pretty clear. It's what I started to come through and understand things. Because I found out all governments and states work really under international law. I told you a court case, Kansas versus Colorado, 1907. The court says we always notice international law. That was a kind of a brownie point for my study. Well, I wasn't in waste to study Benedict on Admiralty, which is about international law, in the beginning. It served me very well. So looking at it, even in a jurisdiction like the ICC that's maybe even just advisory to the UN, Security Council, whatever they want to do, and is foreign to the United States, anybody who has any international law background can look at what those 15 judges are, aside from any of the biases that they do have. You can cut through all that, and you can look at the validity of the discussion relative to the international law and war crimes. Whether or not their summonses are valid, doesn't matter. What we want to know is, what's the opinions of people that study the law, if we're not that wired? What do 15 people say about it? And they say, they came out and said, there's a high probability there's war crimes and genocide going on. And you saw what came out, the United States comes out, you saw Israel condemn, you saw Israel puff up, they're not even part of membership, they walked out, who cares? But they're being covered, and genocide's going on. I don't need to hear that there's no jurisdiction in ICC, I just want to know, were there 15 judges that looked at the international law yet, as I understood it, and what did they come up with? I mean, it's essentially the same thing I would have come up with, and it should be the same thing that you come up with. And so this is why I want to keep focusing on, we don't need some other people, seriously, we don't need it. We could do it ourselves, actually. But there's authorities in the world, and there's not so great authorities. But even if you're not so great of authority, if you're following the law, let's say, this international norms, what's understood to be a war crime. You don't steal someone else's raw materials. You don't steal their, you don't hold food from them. You don't hold their electricity. You don't hold back water. Those are war crimes. I've talked about these for years. It's not even new behind the woodshed. It's what I came through with the mining district. And being a mineral state grantee, accepting a congressional grant for the disposal of land for mineral, being someone who finds a valuable mineral. Oh, and by the way, my mine's still for sale. For some reason, the highest price of gold in the history that I've ever known does not induce the desire to become a miner anymore. I guess we're a dying breed, I suppose. But this brings up this story here that I wanted to touch. German election winner dismisses ICC arrest warrant for Satan Yehu. Now, they can have an opinion. This guy just got voted in. But he dismisses an ICC arrest warrant for Satan Yehu as if that gets rid of the findings that anybody can do relative to what Satan Yehu and Israel is doing to the Palestinians. The Semitic. I hope you get this. The government of Israel is a state, it's not Semitic. Zionist movement is not Semitic. The people of Palestine are, for the most part. I guess there's migration, but anyway, for the most part. German election winner dismisses ICC arrest warrant. Okay, what about the underlying genocide that's going on? He says, this is MERS, I was making his name known last episode, didn't get to this story just so much really to touch on these things. It is an absurd idea that the Israeli prime minister cannot visit the country, Frederick Merz has said. We can visit, folks, but he should be arrested, put to trial. And if the ICC can't do that, then there needs to be an acknowledgement that this Satan Yehu guy is doing war crimes. And they came up with that, too. I told you, international law puts the onus on all countries to stop it, all of them. The ICC said, I think it was the ICC said, or the ICJ came out and said, that extends to non-governmental organizations. You don't have a right to look away because someone doesn't like an arrest warrant from an organization. But Frederick Merz says, it's an absurd idea. Speaking at a press conference on Monday, Merz, whose party recently won the German parliamentary election, revealed that he had invited St. Yehu for a visit, despite Berlin being a signatory to the Rome Statute and treaty governing the ICC. Again, this is even someone who's a signatory, okay? Israel and the United States and Russia had to say that they weren't signatories. It doesn't matter if you got actual proof of violations of law. And if they get high enough, nations have to get involved. They're duty-bound. It's obligatory to step up and stop it. Like the Houthis did. Or tried to. Their best. Quote, I think it's a complete absurd idea that the Israeli Prime Minister cannot visit the Federal Republic of Germany, he said. We would find ways and the means for him to visit Germany and leave again without being arrested. It's also reported, again, as if for an excuse, that Israel, like the U.S., Russia, and China, does not recognize the ICC's jurisdiction. Well, apparently Germany's a signatory. Okay, but the state of Israel doesn't recognize international law that it doesn't like either. And I don't think a mass murdering bank robber has ever become untouchable because he didn't recognize that mass murder and bank robbery are crimes needing arrest and prosecution. And it occurs to me, those that were characterized as not believing the laws applied to them, though that too is a mischaracterization for political, not judicial benefits, were deemed sovereign citizens and treated doubly harsh by so-called judicial, not unlike the ICC enforcement, and despite that terms like anti-Semite is wrongly used in each term for our purposes here, anti-Semite or sovereign citizen is oxymoron as used by either and applicable only to the particular complainant. So where does that leave us? Whatever the failure of the ICC jurisdiction, what MERS thinks, like the mass murdering bank robber not believing the law prohibiting such acts applied to him or his accessory now after the fact, international law not only forbids war crimes or genocide, but requires that Germany and its leader have the obligation and duty to physically stop Israel from committing war crimes. And I think it's inarguable war crimes worse than what Hitler did, if we accept even the worst Hitler narrative, that Germany's Merz has announced himself to be complicit in war crimes and genocide, no better than Hitler. Said another way, nations did not need an ICC warrant to stop Hitler, did they? And now, from this proclamation, the obligation and duty of the German people is to stop Merz, or find themselves complicit in genocide, once already attributed to Germany. That's quite a tar baby of duty and obligation, ain't it? Why it might be Germany is happy to fight Russia to the last Ukrainian, then counteroffer the co-conspirator United States to the steel deal their lands wealth with interest when there is no one left to fight them. As this national resource, and transportation is part of this too, so we're going to get to that now. This national resource, Art of the Steel, going on by the United States now, also acting as a catbox cover-up to this whole thing around Germany. The U.S. may launch Nord Stream 2. Well, it sounds like BlackRock here, doesn't it? Just reaching out and grabbing all kinds of stuff that ain't yours and stealing. I don't need a law that says that, right? I don't need the Bible. We just know, thou shalt not steal. The United States may launch Nord Stream 2. Well, how? But they're going to finagle away. The gas pipeline between Russia and Germany has reportedly seen a leverage in Ukraine peace talks. U.S. investors are backing a plan to activate Russia's... You get that? U.S. investors are backing a plan to activate Russia's Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline, the Financial Times has reported, citing sources. The conduit between Russia and Germany, which was never put in operation, may now serve as a leverage in the ongoing Ukraine peace talks, the publication suggests. Are you putting this together, folks? The United States is using something that's Russia's to hold against Russia as some kind of a leverage. The deal is being set up by Matthias Warnig, former executive director of a Swiss-based Nord Stream 2 operator. Unnamed U.S. investors are supporting the plan in a once-unthinkable move that shows the breadth of U.S. President Donald Trump's reapproachment with Moscow. During this first term, during his first term in office, Trump was critical of Nord Stream 2, targeting it with sanctions. In an interview in October, he even boasted that his actions had killed the project. Since the outset of his second term in office, however, Trump has initiated a notable shift in U.S.-Russia relations, seeking closer political and economic ties with Moscow and signaling that Washington could, at some point, lift sanctions. Reapproachment with Moscow? You think Russia's going to take kindly to the U.S. taking their pipeline after blowing it up? I guess we'll have to see, because it's in the art of the deal, isn't it? Russia just wants to sell its gas. Russia can get its costs back for the pipeline over time that it invested without maintenance concerns. So we'll have to actually see, won't we? But you see the theft that goes on that then is imposed upon people. A lot of shucking and jiving from Trump here to obscure the United States' culpabilities. I'm hoping that you find interest in this, that we continue to look through even the promotions, that there's better ways to do things. Instead of talk, 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 and then talk you out of your stuff. I hear so much talk about the United States getting out of NATO, and now it's on the table. Well, if Russia is a player, he already knows what he needs to do. He should. I think I know what needs to be done. I'm just a guy behind the woodshed. There shouldn't be any talk. Okay, there's a good suggestion. If Europe needs an army, I guess maybe the United States can send theirs as a mercenary army to protect European nations, not the EU or the European Union as a NATO. They don't need, the United States shouldn't withdraw. The United States should terminate NATO. Trump has already put this on the table relative to the Europeans getting back together and creating their own mutual defense pact. There's nothing with the two nuclear powers, if we're already on the edge anyway, the United States just pulls all of its, terminate NATO, tell Europe to get together and defend yourself, but in the meantime, Big Brother, United States, will just watch. And Russia, Mr. Putin, don't do anything. It'll go bad. It'll look ugly. It won't be too terrific. Now, I don't think Russia would do a thing. We'd terminate NATO. Guess what that does? It removes one more thing that Russia has been asking for. It's not on the table no more. It doesn't exist. The United States is not holding the bag. The United States isn't having to cover and subsidize Europe to protect something that doesn't even exist as far as an enemy that I can tell. Russia saved Europe during Hitler, then backed off. There's no evidence I can see, nor does Russia really have the motive. You think the rest of that content looking east from Europe, they need more, Russia needs more? So, Trump, Trump, talk, talk, Trump, talk, Trump, talk, peace, peace, but it's not. If you want peace, he can talk with Russia. Russia will say, we have no purpose. We've already told you that. NATO is dead. Europe is protected by Big Brother United States if Russia wants to make a noise. I mean a really big one, a substantial one. Otherwise, Europe can handle what it needs to do. It can participate itself. It can shut Macroni Man down. Stop your nuclear saber rattling. You're sitting in a nuclear country. A couple of nukes takes you out, and your place is unlivable. That fast. And it may not even be nukes now, with the hazelnut that Russia can send. But Trump is out there to, in the art of the steal, start grabbing up stuff and saying, these are negotiation tools for us. The government comes and steals the stuff on you, steals your house. Are you going to negotiate with that? If you had a power that was equal to stop it, we should. It's the law. Nope, you can't do a takings unless you pay for it. And it has to be better than just that you want it. Or that you're going to use it as a leverage to cover your crimes. If we just applied our law of the United States directly, we would see that Trump's violating the Constitution. Let alone going somewhere else and doing it. Now, we get rid of NATO, we get rid of the troops, all that money doesn't have to be spent. I may not know some secrets that need to be protected, I don't know, but I think that the United States and Russia and China, with their nuclear capacities, and more importantly to me, with Russia with its hypersonic missiles, they don't need to go nuclear, and they can cause the devastation. They can vaporize places without nukes with this hypersonic speed. Is a formidable deterrent on its face. That we, instead of talk, and stealing people's stuff, we want to do economics and business. Trump could be becoming really the peacemaker. I would actually like to see him step into his own intention. But everything is a lie right now. About everything, I guess I should say. There's always a hesitation. You never know what you don't know. There's nothing that's been straightforward. He wants to go in and get Nord Stream 2. There's a pipeline there that's functioning. It's Russia's. What are we talking about there? It's nothing. It's not a bargaining chip. The flow of gas, keeping the flow of gas going is a war crime. So there's no bargaining chip for Trump. No, he just claims that it is, and everybody says, okay. As we watch them fold when United States or Britain or Norway all got together to take out those gas pipelines. And you saw what happened to Germany. You see what's happening to Russia. The austerity that's coming down. And yet we got Starmer over there. War for jobs, folks. You'll be richer. I guess part of me is surprised that people are so complacent. We haven't heard the place just in flame. The conflagration of passions of people just finally not having enough, haven't had enough, and we're going to end it. This is it. What is this rattling of a war for some boogeyman under somebody's mental incapacity? I don't really understand it. Maybe this is something I don't know. Maybe it's something I need to know. I haven't heard anybody know it. I hear lots of noise, like the Kobe swindle. Again, pretty big methodology there that exposed the whole thing to us. It's applicable to Ukraine. What is the leverage there, stealing someone's pipeline and then use that leverage against them? It's not a clear-thinking mind, I don't think at all. It's not a peacemaker either. It's a thief. And yet, because there may be people that are more intentioned to really be peacemakers, like Russia, if I give them that much credit, to say they do want peace, they'd be willing to give up that pipeline if it meant peace. Now, they're going to need some serious guarantees, and they can be given to them. I don't see a problem. But they may be willing to give that pipeline up. Let the consortiums manage it and take care of it just to transit the gas. And their other intention is to make sure that Europe does have the gas so that those people don't die. That's pretty peaceful. That's pretty well-intentioned. Not what I see Trump doing. And so I want us to have a better and clear thought. I think if we buy into, oh, this is the greatest deal for the United States, and forget it's all theft, it seems, all by deception, by fraud, all the very same things Doge is supposed to be saying is illegal, finding that it's not right to do. We don't need Doge to tell us that. We don't need Elon Musk to say anything. And yet we still cheerlead. We still say, oh, Trump's the greatest thing that we've ever seen. And yet he hasn't really given us anything, actually. It was his javelins that continued the war in Ukraine, in fact. He wants to clear Gaza to make Trump resort and casino. Clear Gaza of the people that live there. It's evil, folks. An evil that MERS wants to allow in his country. The same evil, we're told as well, that existed in that same country before, that Russia came in, stopped, and left. To great expense. Talk about people dying. No group of people have had the numbers killed that Russia had. 26 or so million people. And they went home. So, I hope we think a little lot better. I hope we put Trump on a better track. This thing with Israel has to stop. We have to be able to look, as a nation of people, we want to call ourselves righteous and be that way. We have to look in that mirror, folks. We should be doing that every day. And we should be able to see either we're not living up to our needs, our obligations and duties. And that should show us how others are not, like the leaders, like Trumps, like the Rubios, like the Vances, like the Pinocchio Linskys, like blue team and red team that we think are separate. We think that they're fighting. No arrests. Did that just blow you away, folks? No arrests. No records coming out of the government that should have been given in one case with JFK years, decades ago. None. As the black highlighter comes out to cover up one of the players I'm talking about today. This has been BTWRLM 619. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Willing.
Echoes call the hour. Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn. Dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Hal's words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are. To hide a cantaloupe bass, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airways burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. So mark the time when Sunday comes. Behind the woodshed, beating drums. And fierce and bold in the fight for truth. Next week, heed the call, behind the woodshed standing tall.